Everybody say, oh, you say, oh, Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise be unto the Lord on today. Thank you all for calling in. This is the Exalting Jesus broadcast on the Now Network. I am your host, Minister Sir Ryan Davis. I'm going to open up with a prayer, and then we're going to bestow honor upon the mothers on today. But Father, we thank you. We praise you for all that you have done for us, Lord God. Lord, we thank you and we praise you for all you are willing to do for us, Lord God. We thank you And we praise you for the things you have done for us in secret that have not yet been manifested. The things you have in store for your children, Lord God. You are good. There is no flaw in your character. You are holy. You are absolute. You are perfect. You are righteous. You are morally good. You are perfect. Hallelujah, Lord God. And you are all-knowing. You are wise. So we thank you. We lift up our hands and our hearts and our voices to praise you because you are worthy. Lord God, there should never come a time that we feel like we don't owe you praise because we owe you every breath we breathe, Father God. We're not responsible for the air that goes in and out of our lungs, Lord God. We're not even responsible, Lord God, for telling our heart to beat one time that it's beat, Lord God. So therefore, we owe you the praise, the worship, our lives, our hearts, Father God, and everything that we can obtain in this life. It all belongs to you to begin with, Lord God, because we're breathing your air. And you said, let everything that have breath praise you, the Lord. So, Father, we praise you. We thank you. We give you glory. We entreat you, knowing that you are good, knowing you are kind, and your mercies endure forever, and your truth endures forever, Lord God. Hallelujah, Lord God. I thank you for this day, Lord God, the things that you have done for us on this day, Lord God, the blessings, the fact that you've kept us, that you did not let death seize any of us that are on the line hearing me right now. We're alive and well because you have been merciful and you have given us another moment to get acquainted with you. Father, we thank you. We praise you, Lord God, for covering our children, oh God, through the night. We thank you for covering them as we send them off to school, Lord God. We thank you for covering our family and our loved ones, Lord God. We thank you even for covering our enemies or those who have set themselves as our enemies, Lord God. We thank you that you're covering them, Lord God, to give them a right mind, Lord God, to change the course of action, Lord. We just thank you, Father God, that you are blessing us with all heavenly blessings, Lord God, all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, Lord God, and you have given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Hallelujah. Lord, we praise you. We can't pray enough. We can't praise you enough. There's no such thing as praying too much, praising too much. Not when the air we breathe belongs to you. And you said, let everything that have breath praise you, the Lord. So the reason we're breathing, Lord God, is that we may make your praises known throughout the earth. And that we may declare it unto the heavens, Lord God. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. We praise you. We thank you for the mothers on today, Lord God. Every mother on the line, we honor you. In the name of Jesus Christ, we honor those women that have given birth to us. My mother, hallelujah. Lord, we thank you, Lord God, just because they did not abort, but they carried full term, Lord God. If they did nothing else, they did enough right then and there, Lord. So we thank you for giving them a mind to carry full term, Lord God. We thank you that they did not miscarry because now we are here in the land of the living with a purpose to serve you, Lord God. So we make you known in the earth, Lord. We bless you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord, I pray right now you hide me behind the cross before I come before your people. Lord God, I come before you, and I ask that you hide me and let no carnality flow on this line today. I pray you draw in every scattered mind, every wandering mind and scattered thoughts. I come against imaginations and visions of the enemy, and I pray right now that the minds will be set on Christ and that you will seize and arrest the minds by the Holy Ghost and that we will have ears to hear. Hallelujah, Lord God, and that you will utter through this vessel. I am nothing, Lord God. You are everything. I decrease, knowing that you are ever increasing. So I say yes, Lord, and have your way in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, to all the mothers on the line today, it is your day, but I feel bad that we wait to a specific day to honor specific people. But the Bible says to give honor where honor is due, but you are due honor more than one day a year. Not just because it's Mother's Day, but since this is the day that everybody recognizes, I want to recognize my very own mother if you're on the line today. God bless you. My grandmother who was on the line, if it wasn't for her, my daddy wouldn't have been born to meet my mama, so I wouldn't be here. So it all is connected. So God bless you. We honor you. We thank God for you. You two women of God, every other woman on the line, you that maybe you're a single mother. May God bless you on this day. I pray a special prayer right now for those who lost their mothers, never knew your mother. This may not be a joyous occasion to you. Some of people can't wait to get it over with, can't wait for this season to pass because they don't have their mother. We are blessed, and we should thank God if we do. And we should cherish the moments and take nothing for granted. I know a young man that yesterday he posted on Facebook Just yesterday, his mother passed, the day before Mother's Day. And that's a hard thing. I can't imagine the pain that he feels. All I can do is pray for him and ask the saints to pray for those that are in that situation, because only the Holy Spirit can comfort them. Only he knows how to talk to that heart, because he made that heart. Our words become as sounding brass when somebody's in a painful situation, when they're really, really hurting and going through. Nothing we can say other than what the Holy Spirit utters through us can make any difference. But we can pray, and the Holy Spirit can do what he do if we would pray. Hallelujah. He will do it even if we don't pray, because he's that kind of God. But it's something about God that he says, I subject myself to the prayers of man. Some things God says, I'm waiting on you to utter it and speak it in the earth, and I'll do it in the earth. My God, today, that's a whole nother message right there. That'll go a long way. Glory be unto God. Some of us, God has placed you in a position now where your mouth is anointed to speak, and watch what he do. Hallelujah. I'm just going to flow. Y'all know how I do. I can't stay with tradition. I can't flow in the whole, you know, formalities. You know, it's Mother's Day, so we got to talk about Mary, the mother of Jesus. No, we don't. We got to say what thus saith the Lord, what the Holy Spirit is saying. Hallelujah. One thing I want to say is this. Something that I was given earlier at the first of this week, or the last part of last week, that the Lord was putting on my mind and in my spirit, a download. I'm going to give you a short version of it, and I'm going to get into this teaching. Sometimes, all the time, we got to flow in what God is doing and saying, and we can't get caught up in formalities. We can't get even caught up in circumstances. I need those that are intercessors on the line to listen to this really, really good. If you have a prayer life, if you're called to the ministry of prayer, I'm not talking about you got to pray in front of everybody, but you know you got God's ear. Some of y'all that are listening, don't nobody know who you are, but you got power with God. Because you somewhere in the closet talking to God, and he's moving things on your behalf, things bigger than you, bigger than your city, bigger than your county, your state, even things on a national level. You pray and God will show you the manifestation of it, and you know it's exactly the way he led you to pray it. I'm talking to you. I'm talking to you that you got a prayer life that God will whisper something in your ear that's about to happen in a foreign land. You pray it, and you hear about God intervening in it. I'm talking about that. You're coming into visions in the night, in the mornings, and you're seeing faces and hearing names, and God is setting you in people's living rooms to pray. God is setting you in somebody's jail cell to pray. God is setting you in somebody's street corner to pray to stop that bullet, that kind of intercessory prayer. I'm talking to you. Listen to me. We've got to get in a position now where if you are called to intercessory prayer, you know that God has placed that mantle on your life. That's a ministry, because you're ministering to God and not to man. Hallelujah. Watch this. You talk to God long enough about man, he'll start talking to you about the people. And next thing you know, he'll give you prophetic utterance in due season and in his choosing. Watch this. God will put you in a position of prayer, but then sometimes he will cause you to not hear or not see the visions. He'll go silent on you, but he won't say, are you still going to show up to the place of prayer? And what happens is, when we get in that dry place, when we get in that place where the vision's not flowing, we're not seeing the faces, we're not hearing the names, we're not, being taken up in the spirit, but yet we know we're supposed to be talking to God. Sometimes he'll try you in that. And in that place, here's where you got to be careful, because when you are an intercessor, you're doing warfare on behalf of the kingdom. You're doing the job that God has called you to that nobody else knows. Sometimes it's good that you ain't known, but sometimes you're going to be known anyway, because hell hears about you. Hell says all of our plans are being stopped. What's going on? And a demon will say, there's this man over here. There's a lot of prayer activity going on over here. There's a woman down here, and there's a whole lot of prayer activity going on in this region. Let's find out where it's coming from. So sometimes you'll be known in the spirit realm, and people in the natural don't know nothing about who you are. But that's all right. We ain't after man's applaud anyway. We're here to do the kingdom work. Watch this. So sometimes you're that one. And when you're known of hell, when hell finds out about your assignment, your heavenly assignment, they're going to put a hit out on you. You got to stay. And why do you think the Bible tells us in Ephesians, the 6th chapter, he says, put on the full armor of God. You can't go half-cocked. You can't go half-dressed. You got to do this thing the right way. Put that armor on. You're not equipped. You got to hide behind that shield of faith. You're not equipped on your own. But God says, put on the armor of God. That's my stuff. Put it on. Put it on. I'm giving it to you. I'm telling you how to do it. Hallelujah. Watch this. Those attacks sometimes are a distraction. What the devil wants us to do, here's the part I'm trying to get to. Listen to me real well. If you have a prayer life, what the enemy wants everybody to do is this: get all shocked and surprised by the things that happen in the news or the things that happen in your life or in the lives of those around you to direct your prayer and divert your prayer. But you got to pray what the Holy Ghost say. I was getting ready to pray because I had an attack, and I was getting ready to pray about that attack, and it was dropped in my spirit. The devil wants us to pray according to the attacks and not according to the will of God. But I want to read this scripture, and then I'm going to get into the teaching. It's a whole other message that I'm going to get into. Hallelujah. But I want to read this in Romans chapter 8, one of my favorite places in the Bible. That chapter is so full of meat and so rich because you got to understand, Paul did not walk with Jesus in the flesh like James, John, Peter, and Andrew, and Judas, and Jude, and all those. They knew him in the natural. They walked with him in the flesh and didn't even recognize him when he resurrected. But Paul sees a resurrected Jesus, so he gets the revelation of Christ in the spirit of who he really is on a whole nother level, okay? So his writings are a little bit more deeper, if you ask me. He wrote more in quantity, and he saw things that we can't even fathom. He traveled in the spirit at times and said, I don't know if I was in my body or out of my body. This is Brother Paul, the Apostle Paul. Okay, so he writes this. He knew Jesus, but he knew him via Holy Ghost. He knew him in his resurrected form. He never got to meet Christ in the body form before he ascended up on high. So he sees the glorified, incorruptible body form of Christ. He sees it this way. That's why he often writes Christ Jesus in his writings and not Jesus Christ, because Jesus alludes to the name that was given to him when he was born a man. But Christ is the essence of who he is, his being. Christ means the anointed one, or Christos, the anointing, the Messiah. Hallelujah. Watch this. Glory to God. So Paul writes, and he talks about intercession. Watch what he says, though, in Romans chapter 8, verse 26. He says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. I know we think that's the sha-na-na-na-na-na, the tongue talking. Now, that's a whole other thing. But he said it can't even be uttered. So it's sometimes just a groan, just a, oh, God, oh, Jesus. It's sometimes it's just in your belly, or sometimes it's just, You just, but there's something coming out of you that the Spirit says, I know what that means. Hallelujah. See, he's not always in the intellect. Sometimes he's just going to move in the power. And the Bible says that the God chooses the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. So it ain't always in what you can say to God in English, not even in the Hanarabosa, not even in the tongues, but sometimes it's just a God, but he knows what's in that And in that you're giving birth to intercessory prayer. Watch this. He says that he that searches the hearts, he's searching your heart, knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit. If he knows what's in your heart, and he searches the hearts, there's an S on the end of heart. So he's talking about every heart. He's saying God knows what's going on with every heart in the world. He sees the underlying issues of the heart for every person. He says he knows the mind of the Spirit. It's a capital S on Spirit there. So he said the same one that looks into everybody's heart knows what's on the mind of God himself. And watch this. Because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will. The will of God, that's the will of God. That's what God's desire is. He's going to teach you how to pray his desire. You're not going to pray according to your fleshly lusts or your soulish desires. This is how you get rid of witchcraft out of your life. You're not praying your will. You're not praying your desires. But you, God, what do you want me to pray? You bow down in that time, in that place, in your watch hour. And next thing you know, it's but ain't no words coming out. All of a sudden, you feel, and all of a sudden, You pray in something, you say, why did I say that? Because the Holy Ghost in you. Hallelujah. And sometimes he ain't even going to utter it because he don't want the enemy to even know, oh, glory to God, I feel this thing. He don't even want the enemy to know. This is where tongues come into play right here. This is where tongues come into play because sometimes he's going to have you pray it in tongues. And sometimes he's not even going to have you praying in tongues because somebody might be interpreting or hearing that utterance in a different language that don't need to. But God says, I'll move in the silence. You just give me a Watch this, though. But he wants you to pray according to the will of God. It's the Holy Spirit in you that will pray through you the will of God. Somebody's getting this. Somebody's spirit is joyous because they're like, this is just what I needed. Well, to God be the praise. It is. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because this is nothing more I was going to teach on, and I'm going to eventually get out of this, I believe, but I'm going to stay right here for now. So he teaches us to pray according to the will of God. That means what God desires. What does God desire? What does God desire? It's not what we desire. Now, I know there's a time where you pray according to your desires. Jesus said when you pray, if you believe whatsoever things you ask for, you shall have what you desire. So there's a point of desire in our prayer. But then there's a point where you got to go past that. And this is, I'm talking to those that are really somewhere in the spirit, and you know you got the spirit or the gift of, or excuse me, the ministry is the better word to use, of intercessory prayer. You minister before the Lord, not before anybody else. He said when you pray, go in and shut the door behind you. So you got that prayer life going, and that's what's going to give birth to all your other blessings. Watch this. Because he said, what you do in secret, I'll reward you openly. Hallelujah. Who want to be a prayer warrior? That's where the blessings flow. This is how you get that open reward, because you done did it in secret so long that God says, I can't keep it a secret no more. I got to expose you. You are like a lit fire. He says, man, do not light a candle to hide it, but they set it on high that everybody may see. So after a while, you pray long enough, God going to put you in a place where you lighten the way for somebody else. We don't have to covet the spotlight. You become the spotlight. I'm going to say that again. You don't have to covet the spotlight. If you live it right and pray it right, you become a spotlight. Because God says, now I'm going to make you a lighthouse. My God, today, watch this. The Holy Spirit prays according to the will of God. Often Satan sends these attacks against us. They'll slander you. Family members act crazy. The devil will get in the people on your boss, on your job. Or it might be somebody in the church. Minister so-and-so don't like me, and every time I serve, they're giving me a hard time. Well, the devil knows how to get you frustrated, but all he's trying to do is get you praying about that thing when God says, I wasn't even worried about that. I can fix that. I got something over here you need to be working on. See, God might tell you, pray about your money, and all of a sudden, the devil start acting a fool in your family. Your kids go to acting crazy. All of a sudden, the distractions become everywhere you turn around. You're having problems with this, that, and the other. But God said, pray about your money. But then the devil break out in your family. Well, God, naturally, we're going to, as people, start praying about the family. But God said, just pray what I told you, and I'm going to take care of that. Or God may say, pray for your family. All of a sudden, they start laying off on your job, cutting back hours, or your money get funny, your business dry up, or whatever happens. Now, all of a sudden, you praying for money, and God said, I said, pray for your family. Because if you get the family straight, I'm going to honor that, and I'm going to bless your money. However it goes, we got to hear what the mind of the Spirit is now, that we don't pray amiss, that we're not praying according to our attacks, but according to the will and purpose of God, because the Holy Spirit makes intercession according to the will of God. Now I'm going to get out of that. Hallelujah. I'm going to do this short teaching and let you go, because you may want to enjoy your Mother's Day dinner or whatever you got going on, your fellowship. So I promise you, I'm going to try my best not to be long. I said try. One thing that the Lord has let me see, and I know this can't be done in one part, and I know we really didn't even finish the series, the teaching about money, but I had to come back to it at some other point. But one thing the Lord is really concerned about for his people is that we understand covenant, his covenant, the covenant that we are in right now, okay? So covenant that God has for us is not the law, and it's not the covenant, as many call it, of grace. It's not the covenant of grace. I know that's how they preach it. I know that's how your favorite TV evangelists tell it. I know that's what we want to hear. I know that feels good and it sounds good, but the Bible is right and God is right, first of all. And God will raise up people to tell you, and you're blessed if you hear. I want you to take your right hand, left hand, and touch both your ears and repeat after me. Say, my ears are my blessing, or my ears are my problem. My ears are my blessing, or my ears are my problem. The preacher, the teacher, we have no business trying to deal with folks' ears. If you can't hear spiritually, then it's not on us. We just got to keep delivering the word, because faith come by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Now, after a while, people begin to hear if the word of God is being preached. The reason we got a lot of folk that can't hear is because the word of God is not being preached. So you either have ears to hear or you don't. Now, the beautiful thing about it is Jesus leaves it up to each individual still, because he comes and he preaches the word. He lives out the word. He is the word, and they still would not hear. So at some point, he's going to realize, make you realize that either you just won't hear and you're going to have to deal with that, or at some point he's going to make you able to hear, because that word is going to keep coming and it's going to give you the ability to hear. Watch this. Psalms chapter 25, verse 14 says, the secret of the Lord is for those who fear him, and he will make them to know his covenant. I want you to understand what this is saying here. This is in the Old Testament, writings of Psalms, but this stuff was given by the Holy Spirit. He says, the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will make known to them his covenant. So God makes his covenant known to them that fear him. The Bible says that the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. Beginning of wisdom. So there's a wisdom we need that starts with fearing God. He says, I'm going to show you some stuff you do not know. This means God, everybody don't have to fear God. Everybody doesn't fear God, so everybody doesn't know his covenant. He doesn't make it known to everybody, but they should know. But the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. There's some people that don't fear God, even church-going folks. Just look, if your attitude nasty, you mean and hateful, you don't fear God, because you don't understand that you're going to burn in hell if you don't get right. I don't care. You can shout, huck and buck and run all over the church, and they put towels and sheets all over you. You can scoop boogie across the church and turn holes in the carpet, run and bang up against the pew, knock folks all out of the chair and call it God. You can wag your tongue back in your head, shunna that idiot. You can do all that. You can preach till the heavens come down or something comes down. You can do all that. You can play the baddest musician. You can be the baddest musician and play and make the instruments talk. You can wear the fancy suit. You can cut a rug. You can do all the church religious stuff and be hateful in your heart. You're going to die and go to hell if you don't repent, because you don't fear God. But the fear of God will make you love everybody. The fear of God will make you repent. The fear of God will make you humble yourself. I'm not saying we won't have moments. I'm not saying you won't get upset. I'm not saying you won't get frustrated. I'm not saying you going to like everybody, but you're going to strive to love them. You're going to find the love of God in your heart towards everybody if you fear God. Jesus told a parable about a man that did not fear God. He said there was an unjust judge who did not fear God, neither did he regard men. So there are some people that do not fear God, and there's a special place in hell for them. But, yeah, people don't preach hell no more. Some people say, oh, you talk that hell stuff. Like, oh, yeah. Because God told me, he said, hell is not a message of fear, but a message of reality. Unfortunately for many people, their reality, when they cross over from this land into the eternal realm, and their spirit leaves their body, and they're unsaved, that's where they go. I don't care about Carl Pearson saying there ain't no hell, and these other pastors out here, these big-time bishops telling you there ain't no hell, and all this universalism in the church nowadays, and they preach it. The Bible is still right. Call me what you want, but the Bible is still right. Hell is still hot. It's just as hot as it ever was, and it's going to get hotter at the end when he throw it in that lake. Now, folk don't got away from the truth, but it is what it is. I'm not trying to put nobody in hell. I'm just telling you what the word of the Lord is. If anybody goes, it's because they want to and they don't fear God. But when you fear God, he says, I'm going to show you this covenant. I'm going to show you my covenant. Now, in the Old Testament, we know it was the law. It was the law. It was complicated because you had to start out with the two two tablets, and there was 10 commandments on there, you know, don't have no gods before me, thou shalt not have any graven images, you know, keep the Sabbath holy, thou shalt not lie, don't bear false witness, don't covet thy neighbor's wife, don't covet thy neighbor's cattle, and don't bear false witness against your neighbor, thou shalt not lie, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not commit adultery, all the thou shalt and thou shalt not, thou, you know, thou shalt love the Lord with all your heart, all those different commandments, and then it went into several hundred other commandments. And bylaws and statutes, and which a lot of that only dealt with the priesthood, but people trying to put it off on other people. Nevertheless, you had the law, and it got complicated because, for example, people say, you know, you got to keep the Sabbath day holy. Well, how holy is holy enough? How do we determine how holy is holy enough? Because you had the whole priesthood back in that day when Jesus came, trying to keep it holy, but they wasn't holy themselves. And they were trying to hold everybody captive to this bondage of the law under the Sabbath law. And when every time Jesus would come and do something, they would question him, why you do this on the Sabbath? But he was trying to show them, y'all don't even understand the heart and mind of God behind what I gave you because you don't fear God, so I can't show you my covenant. That's that covenant. Jesus was born under the law. So he said, I can't even show you my covenant because you ain't even got to fear God in your heart. You know, let me say this. Here's these religious leaders back in that day. They come to Jesus with a woman, and they say, we caught her in the very act of adultery. We caught her. Now, my thing is, you catch her in the act. Ain't that a peep show? Ain't you watching pornography, basically? Where was you at to catch her in the act? Ponder that for a minute. And where's the man at? If you caught her in the act, which one of y'all was she with? See, that'll mess the religious folks up. That'll mess the I'm holy by my own confession people up. Watch this. So who was she sleeping with? Y'all brought the woman that was caught in the act, but no man? Who was she sleeping with, herself? See, so Jesus says to the woman, I don't condemn you. Not because he was okay with adultery. He's the same God that wrote the stone tablets and gave it to Moses that said, thou shalt not commit adultery. He's the same God that was on that mountaintop that wrote it with his own finger two times because Moses broke them all first. Sometimes the biggest lawbreaker is the one that's trying to put you in bondage of the law. Watch this. Or the one that's bringing you the law. Moses broke the two tablets, meaning he broke every law. Watch this. You break one, you break them all. Jesus says, I do not condemn you to this woman. He did not say, I agree with what you did. He said, I'm not going to condemn you. Then he told her, go and sin no more. So Jesus is the answer to being free from sin. If anybody want to know, how do I live above sin? Get with Jesus. Get with Jesus. If he says it, if it come out of his mouth, it's doable. I don't care how they try to dress it up and say we all sinners, we all under sin, and they try to tell you the Bible said, and you better read that Bible for yourself. You got one life to live. You got one instruction book, basic instructions before leaving earth, B-I-B-L-E. If you don't read it and you ignorant and you don't fear God and you die and you wake up in a burning pit, it's on you, baby. Especially with all the technology we got nowadays and all the preaching going on. Unfortunately, everybody not preaching the covenant. But I'm going to give you what he give me. So I was praying yesterday, and the Lord chastised me a little bit about something personal. And after that, I began to say, well, Lord, do you want me to, you know, not say anything? You want me to not give any more word? What do you want me to do? No, I wasn't in sin. Get out. Not in no willful sin. Don't try to figure that out. I'm not talking about that. You can be a child of God will be chastised just for not praying enough. That's sin. You know, for not spending enough time with God. That's one of the bigger sins. So he chastised me about something personal, but it wasn't none of the big blatant sins. So don't try to figure that out. But he began to deal with me, and then I began to talk to the Lord some more, and he began to give me this. And he said, tell them that my salvation is not hard or complicated unless they want it to be. So I'm just telling you what he told me. You take that in your prayer closet and talk to him about that. But what I understood is this covenant that God has placed us in is so good. It's so doable. It's such a blessing. Watch this. It's such a blessing. He said in Psalms that I will show them that fear me my covenant. So what is the covenant? Let's go to the Bible. If you're an evangelist, I'm going to give you a little tool that I use. You don't have to do this. You got to follow the Holy Spirit, but sometimes the Holy Spirit is talking to you through a person. Whenever I deal with new converts or people who are wanting to know about God and read the Bible and those things, and they say, well, where do I start? They always ask that. Where do I start? I always start them in the Gospel of John, just me personally. Why? Because John goes back to the beginning and ties it in with the covenant we are now in. He doesn't take them back to Moses and get them all tangled up in the law and then try to preach Jesus to them. No, he starts with Jesus, and then we get the understanding of everything else because now we got faith, and faith activates the understanding. Watch this. So John starts out, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. That'll preach itself. But I'm not going to go into that. But if you read the first chapter of John and you go on down to about verse number 10. It says, this whole chapter is so good, I could do it all, but time won't permit. So I'm going to start with verse 10. He says, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. So this right here is telling you Jesus is God. He's God. This is a blessing to me. I got blessed thinking about this week because I realized Jesus came to this world as a man. He was fully man. He wasn't part man, part God. He was fully man and fully God at the same time, which means for us, you can be balanced. You can be spiritual and yet take care of your natural business without going too far, trying to be too spiritual and neglecting life, or trying to be too much of this world and neglecting your spiritual man, because that was going to cost you more in the end. Watch this. So we got to be balanced like Jesus. He worked. He had a job, y'all. He worked for a majority of his life. He did ministry for a few short years. But watch this. Sometimes you got to go back to work. Watch this. And then sometimes God will put you in that full-time ministry. Watch this. He came to his own, and his own received him not. This is the Jewish nation, the people that he gave the law to, that he showed his first covenant to, but they did not receive him. The fear of God had left the people, not all of them, but majority. He says he came and they did not receive him. They received him not. Rejection is a part of being like Christ. But, there's a but, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. This is why we're always talking about the name of Jesus. This is why we have to exalt his name, because it's not just preaching God. Every religion of the world has something they call God or the light, but you got to put the name out there. It's the name that's going to make the difference, because it's the name you're going to be persecuted for. It's the name of Jesus they blaspheme in Hollywood. It's the name of Jesus that everybody uses as a cuss word, Jesus Christ, when they're mad. It's the name, so you got to make people understand, look, this is my Lord. This is who I believe. This is my life and my ticket into heaven, the name. So his name is important. We got to be careful with his name. It says, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So he's talking about being born again. He's talking about being born again by belief. It's not about your physical body, your blood, your flesh, the will of man, your mom and daddy coming together. We thank God for that. But that spirit that you are got to be reborn. You got to be born again. This is the basics. Sometimes we got to go back to the basics. I can get into the deep prophetic revelations, the end time stuff. Some of y'all, if I did, you wouldn't hear it anyway. But this basic, sometimes God got to bring us right back, because we get off and we got to understand where we are in order to move forward, or where we need to be in order to move forward. So he says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. I already told you, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. So the Word became flesh, or it was made flesh. Okay, so he wasn't created. Jesus was not created. He's always been. The Word was in the beginning, but it was made flesh. In other words, it took on a whole other form. It did something new. God said, I'll do a new thing, back in the Old Testament. The prophet Isaiah prophesied, God will do a new thing, and it shall spring forth immediately. Here it is. That's the new thing. Mary believed the word of God, and she looked up and found herself pregnant as a virgin. This is that new thing. Some say, how is that possible? How could a virgin? Well, the same way, if you believe God made man from the dirt, then you can believe God can make man from a virgin womb. Jesus is in the belly of his mother and brings him forth. Now watch this. Here's what I want to get to. It says, and the Word was made flesh. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. He lived a human life. And we beheld his glory. That means we looked upon him and saw his image. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father. So he's the only begotten now. At that time that John wrote this, he's the only Son of God. Okay? Now, there's only one Son of God that's going to give you salvation. But now there's many sons of God that can bring this message to you. Understand what I'm saying? Go back to refer back to verse 12. Anybody that takes issue with that, it says he gave them power to become the sons, with an S on the end of it, of God. So there are more than one son. But the only begotten, at the time John is writing this, he understands who Jesus is and was when he came into the world. John wrote this because he knew Jesus personally as a man, but he recognized that he is the Christ. He was a privileged Jew because many of the Jews rejected him, especially the religious leaders. Now, here's what I want to get to right here. It says, the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Full of grace and truth. So what is Jesus full of? Grace and truth. This is what it says in your Bible. Grace and truth. What is grace? I will go into a long word study, but for the sake of time and the shortness message, I'm not going to do that today. But we know that grace is unmerited favor. You didn't do anything to get this favor from God. I don't care who you are. Bishop, apostle, prophet, master prophet, that don't even exist. A prophet to the nations, holy father, that's blasphemy. Whatever you call yourself. You didn't get this by your doings. It said he was full of grace and truth. He's full of it. That's what he's full of, grace and truth. It says John bear witness of him and cried, saying, this was he whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. So John the Baptist is telling the people, before I ever got here to tell you about this light that's coming into the world, he was already here before me, just in a different form. So he's testifying the word of God. It says, and of his fullness have we all received grace for grace. His fullness, of his fullness. But is he full of grace and truth? So he's showing you the multiplied grace of God, the multiplistic grace of God. And he says he gives grace for grace. Wherefore he adds more grace. Watch this now. The Bible says that he, where sin abounds, this is in Romans, I'm skipping around now, but I believe it's in Romans chapter 6, it says where sin abounds, grace did abound much more. That means the grace of God has to be greater than sin. In other words, sin is going to multiply. It started with one act. Now look at the world today. Adam just took a bite of fruit. And now there's all kind of debauchery and sin and you know, cesspools of filth and adultery and fornication and murder and drugs and child molestation and kidnapping and wars and diabolical inventions and evils of all kinds in this world. Sin is abounding. It's like a tree. It grows from a little tiny seed and it flourishes. That's what's happening in the world with sin. But God says, I planted a tree called the kingdom of God, in the covenant of grace and truth, and it's abounding too. So he says, where sin did abound, hallelujah. Father God, I thank you right now for your healing virtue being upon Sister Diane right now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I got a message. Somebody's in need. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Lord, we pray right now. Hallelujah. We stand in agreement right now. Those of you listening, I ask you right now to pray with me. Hallelujah. We pray right now that those breathing problems cease and that your healing will overtake her body and you attack that which is attacking her in the name of Jesus. Yes and amen. Hallelujah. It says, of his fullness have we received grace for grace. Now here's the kicker, verse 17. For the law was given by Moses. Moses gave the law. We know it came from God, but Moses had to give it to man. God always uses a man. When he's going to do something in the earth, he uses man. Man is very instrumental. Folks say, I don't need no man to teach me nothing. The devil is a liar. Yes, the Holy Spirit will teach you. He will. But you still, you got to hear. How can they hear without a preacher? He said, how can they hear without a preacher? How can a preacher say they be sent? This is where it gets tricky. You got to know who God's sending. God sent Moses. God sent Jesus. And I'm here to tell you, God sent me. So if you got ears to hear, you're going to hear it. If not, the door is open. You never have to listen to nothing I say. But hallelujah. Watch this. So he says Moses gave the law. Okay? Well, the law was given by Moses. But grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Anytime God's going to do something, he'll raise up a person. Even became a person. That's how important humanity is to God. He says, I looked for a man and couldn't find none. So he became one and dwelt among us. He was in the world, and the world did not know him. So here he is, and he comes, and watch what he does. It says, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. It came by Jesus Christ. Jesus brought grace and truth into this world. Grace and truth, that's the unmerited favor, but then there's the other side of that. And this is where a lot of people fall short because they want to stay on the grace, 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 grace message. We want to ride the grace gravy train. The gravy train with biscuit wheels and you know, candy-coated gospel. But we got to get into the truth. There's a truth side of it. There's a truth side of it. Holy Spirit gave me this, and I'm going to leave on this one. I prayed because I had to do a Bible study, and I didn't know what to say, and the Holy Spirit broke his thing down so awesome to me. I was like, wow. And he began to share with me the difference between the old covenant and the new. And this is where a lot of people are confused at, and they go back and forth, and God doesn't want you deceived, beloved. The devil has people on assignment, false brethren, that will subvert whole households, the Bible says. They subvert. That means to take you under. Think of a boat that is capsized, subverted, like a submarine now. It's supposed to be above the water. Now it's being dragged under. The devil has people on assignment to subvert you in your household. Because if he get the head of the household, eventually he's going to get everybody else. If he can get the leader, he can get everybody else. Smite the shepherd and scatter the sheep. That's the enemy's tactic. That's his end game. But we're not ignorant to his devices. So he has people on assignment. This is why people are confused about the name. Is it Yeshua, Yeshua, Yahuwah? You know, I heard one man say his name is Ahia or whatever. Sound like Ohio. All these different name battles now. Well, who do we call on? Well, this Bible calls him Jesus. What did you get saved saying? Did you get saved saying, Ahia, save me? Or Yah, Jah, just you, Yehuda? Was you born Jewish? Was you born Hebrew with a Hebrew dialect? Or was you born English, speaking English? What gospel did you believe that saved you when you got filled with the Holy Ghost? When you got cancer knocked out of your body? When they cast the demons out of you? When you went down in the water and became a new creature? What name was you calling on? I got saved calling on Jesus. Yes, we can say Yeshua. That is the proper Hebrew pronunciation, but God understands the heart of the matter. But the devil's got all these people confused now because they're trying to blend the old with the new. They're trying to bring in the old and subvert people. And they're not rightly dividing because they weren't sent. This is why I speak with authority sometimes. It's not pride, but I understand what this mandate on my life to tell you is. And you got to have ears to hear. Watch this. He broke his thing down to me. Many people don't understand the covenant. They don't understand the covenant. So God will raise up a teacher. He'll send somebody. You don't have to have a teacher for the Holy Spirit to show you this. Not all the time. He can show you this without me. He don't need me. Okay? Because he can raise up somebody else to tell it just like he's using me to tell it. He don't need me. He don't need none of us. But he chose me. So I'm going to speak what he give me. Watch this. The covenant is grace and truth. The grace of God is extended to all sinners. But there's a truth that we got to obtain. We got to come into the knowledge of the truth. We're being perfected. That means you can't stay on milk. The meat of the word is when you begin to do the will of God. Watch this. And it's not based on law. It's still based on grace. It's still based on grace. Why you say grace for grace? He's going to increase in the grace measure. But it has to be greater than sin to bring you out. If the sin of this world is greater than God's grace, then there's no salvation. So he's saying there's two things growing. There's two trees. Take you back to the garden. There's two trees. Right now the tree of sin and iniquity is flourishing. But the tree of grace and truth is flourishing. And you got to be grafted out of one into another. Watch this. It says, receive the grafted word of God into your spirit that you may be saved. So he broke his thing down to me and used the analogy of a house. I tried to make this message so short, but God knows it's just flowing. Hallelujah. Some of you will go back and get it on the archives because you're distracted. The old covenant, it is what it is, and it was what it was. But the new is where life is found. In Luke, the 20th chapter, I believe it is, Jesus says that the New Testament is in my blood. In my blood. So he's full of grace and truth. So when his blood spills out of him and we come into the New Testament through his blood, what was in him? He's full of his fullness. We receive grace. Okay? We receive grace. Watch this. We also receive grace and truth. He doesn't stop at the grace. He goes on and tells you what Jesus brought us. He says the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. He began to share with me, it's like a house. You live in a house. You got a three-bedroom house. It's one story. It's only 2,800 square feet. Then the Lord blesses you, and now you can buy a two-story, six-bedroom house that's 5,000 square feet. So you move out of the old house into the new. You moved out. Everything you about the old house, the structure of the house, it still stands. You can ride by that house and see that house, and it's still there. But you don't live there no more. Somebody catch that. You don't live there no more. You done moved out. You've done taken your stuff. And if you got a better home, 9 times out of 10, majority of the stuff you had in the shabby home don't need to be in the new upgraded home. It wasn't shabby when you bought it. It was new to you. It was good when you got it. It was right. It was what it was supposed to be. It did what it did, or it do what it do for the moment. But when it's time to go, it's time to go. Watch this. So you take and you move out of that old house. Just because you moved out of that old house don't mean you tear the house down. So we're not here to tear down. Jesus said, I did not come to destroy the law and the prophets, but to fulfill it. To fulfill it. In other words, he's the fullness of it. The new covenant is in him. He's saying, look, get in me, and I give you life. Get in me. We got to understand this covenant. Somebody say, this is elementary teaching. Well, sometimes we got to go back to the basics, because some people's foundation has got cracks in it. Some people is leaning towards the subversion, the teachings. I got to go back and keep the Sabbath the way they did it in the old. I got to do this the way they did it. I got to, you know, honor the preacher the way they did it in Moses' day, the Aaronic covenant and the Levitical priesthood, not understanding there's been a change of the priesthood, not understanding that things are a little bit different. But understanding will take you a long way. Watch this. He says, it's like moving out of a house, and you move into your new house. Now, here's what's going to get a lot of people, and here's where it's a little bit tricky. I ain't going to say complicated, but you just got to listen and pay attention. When you move out of that old house, some of that old furniture goes with you to the new house. I said some, not all. So this is why we can find some things in the old covenant that apply to us, but they apply to us through the vein of grace and truth. Not through the working of the law, not through trying to prove your righteousness, not through the ceremonies of bringing sacrifice. See, the Jewish people that rejected Jesus are still at the wailing wall, banging their head against the wall, praying, waiting for the Messiah to come back, or come the first time, excuse me. And God says any spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has not come in the flesh is antichrist. So they don't believe that the Christ has already shown up as a man. They're waiting to receive a man, and they're going to get the antichrist. That's what they're in, those that are unbelievers. But we pray that God will reveal Jesus to them and they will get saved and really understand that he's already come. He's already done, fulfilled that. But they're still trying to live in the old house, and God says, I built you something bigger, better, with better promises. There's some new furnishings in here. You need to come check it out. I got something going on over here that's so good. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. And where I am, you may be also. It's all about being with him. It's not about the place. It's about being with him. Hallelujah. Watch this. He says, you take and you live in that new place. You can ride by that old house and get memories. You can the bare bones of that house, the structure of it is still there. It still stands. It's useful. You know, it has a use. You can take that old house and utilize it. Some people will take that old house and use it to rent it out and make some money off it. Don't use the word of God to pimp the people of God, though. I'm not saying you should do that, but I'm saying the scriptures of the old have use. And it's profitable for doctrine, not for money, for reproof, for correction, that the man of God may be perfect. So we got to use that right and rightly divide it and apply this word to the people of God in the way that they'll know who their God is. Hallelujah. Lord, I thank you for revealing your covenant. I thank you, Lord God, for even teaching us how to pray even more effectively, Lord God. I thank you that you're birthing a prayer ministry in somebody's belly right now, Lord God. They won't look for no glory out of it, Lord God. Hallelujah. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover, Lord God, because we're a generation to seek you, Lord God. We ain't trying to get your glory, Lord God. We thank you. We praise you. Hallelujah. And I bind the words of the naysayers. Let the words fall to the ground, Lord God, and let them be ashamed of their naysaying and their evil speaking against your servants in this hour, Lord God. Hallelujah. And Lord, I thank you that confession and repentance will come upon the body of Christ, Lord God, and we'll be made one in truth and in love, Lord God. Hallelujah. Lord, I thank you that you're protecting our families, Lord God. You're protecting us from the plan of the enemy to slaughter and kill, Lord God, and to destroy. We just thank you. You're protecting us. Hallelujah. In the mighty name of Jesus. Overflow. I hear the word overflow. I thank you, Lord, for overflow. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you for the overflow of your blessings. In Jesus' name. Amen.
That not only are you free indeed, because he whom the Son sets free is free in. Come on, church. He whom the Son sets free is free. But I heard the Spirit of the Lord say to me, he said that from tonight forward, your behavior, your appetite will be a reflection of your freedom. You won't just be free indeed, but you'll be free indeed. Put your hand on your neighbor, tell him your behavior will be a reflection of your freedom. Free indeed. I need y'all to raise that up all over this room. Get your hands up, say free. Come on, Bob, let's sing it. Listen, y'all. It's been years. You're still struggling with the same fear. What if I lose it all?
You can still call on Jesus.
No more tears. Now you be free, free. Oh God. Everybody, just say free indeed. Say I am. One more time, somebody holler, say, I am. Right here, Bond. Free. Listen, what he did, 'cause he hears all my secrets. Hey, gotta call on Jesus. No more guilt, no more shame, 'cause you cleared my name. I'll never be the same, but I'll be to prophesy over your own life. Say, one more time, say, in my mind, in my will, what I feel, I'm free. Y'all gonna say, in my
Nobody Dial One. God bless you, family. Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers again. We are still celebrating mothers today. And let's not, as Minister Sir Ryan said earlier, let's just not wait for a one time a year. Let's make it a daily thing to love on women more than we ever have before. God bless you, family.